Good morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Hope you're having a wonderful morning as I have a guest across the way making his way in here from he didn't have to come too far to get in here, did you, Chris?
No, pretty close.
Just up the road a little bit, up the hill. Chris Miller is here with the Fairfield Rural Fire Department. We're going to talk about all kinds of different things today, if you don't mind. Because what we were just talking about is compelling to me, and I want to hear all about that, too. But we're here to talk about, first things first, the fish fry coming up on March 17th. And we're going to give away tickets for that here in a little bit as well. Tell me a little bit about the Fairfield Rural Fire Department fish fry coming up, Chris.
Well, it's time for it again, March 17th. We're again serving lunch from 11 to 1 and supper, I believe, from 4:30 to 7. Kids 5 and under get to eat free. Tickets for 5 to 12 are $5, and adults are 10, and it's all you can eat. Fish, hush puppies.
You know, that's the good part. That's all a good part. Fish, hush puppies. Now, you've done fries, right? Or is it river taters? What are you doing?
No, we do potato wedges.
Tater wedges?
Yep. And homemade coleslaw.
Who's making the coleslaw?
It's a combination of about everybody.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, everybody has just a little bit to do with it.
Somebody the big taster?
Yeah, we have some professional tasters, yes.
See, I like the fact you're making your homemade coleslaw. You're starting with the cabbage, aren't you? You're not getting the shredded cabbage. Are you cutting your own cabbage?
No, we do use shredded cabbage, but the sauce and everything's all hand mixed.
No, so is it going to be creamy coleslaw or is it a vinegar coleslaw?
Creamy.
Creamy coleslaw.
Yep, creamy coleslaw.
I love good creamy coleslaw. It goes perfect with fish.
Yep,
how much,
it does.
How much fish you think you'll make? You'll go with 5 hours of serving.
Usually go through between 700 to 800 pounds, with very little fish left over.
No kidding.
Yes,
that's a lot of fish.
Yep, it takes a lot of preparation.
How much you think everybody eats? I mean, when you get to all you can eat, and I guess it's a and it's basically you get all that stuff in a foam box or whatever.
Yeah, you can get to-goes in a foam box. We have a pretty big to-go table, but a lot of people eat in, just pile it on their plates.
So how much do you think your average one person is going to get?
I would say probably a pound of fish.
Do you think so? Do you know how many people you usually go through on the entire day?
Yes, we try to keep count, and usually it runs between 12 to 1,400.
Wow. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, that's both lunch and dinner, usually 12 to 1,400.
Do you get folks who eat both lunch and dinner? How many people will have fish twice that day?
We see several people twice a day. Mike Everett's one of them. If he's in town, he'll come for lunch, and then he'll bring his family for supper.
The sheriff is an aficionado, isn't he?
Yes, he is. I think he missed last year because he was gone out of town on some training or something. He was going to be gone too long, so we couldn't keep him any. But he shows up for both.
Now, that's pretty cool. Now, so if you have – we're not getting any leftover fish from last year. You said there's usually very little left over. You guys cook that immediately, right? And you'll cook that at your meetings or something like that?
We'll freeze it. We have some people that want to buy it if they're having a get-together at their house or something. I believe last year we only had 20 pounds left, I think. So
no kidding.
Wasn't much.
Do you have some on standby ready to go?
No. Once we're out, we're out. We've done it enough years. We pretty well have it down to science. The only big factor is the weather. If it's raining.
And that affects you quite a bit too, doesn't it, Chris?
Yeah. Over the years, we've ran short. We've sold out. So we've increased it the next year. And then we've had years that we've had quite a bit left over just because – some kind of weather event.
Yeah.
And, you know, the turnout wasn't that great, but we've got it down to a science now.
You do kind of have it down to a science, and you have the parking down to a science as well, too, because don't you now have, parking with a bigger lot now or something? Or how's the parking? You had, for years, you had people parking like over at Garmin's.
Yeah, Garmin's, back when,
which isn't really Garmin's anymore, I guess it's Le Mans now, right? And doesn't Le Mans own that?
I believe they do. Yeah. We park there, and then back when the car dealership was still at the old Brown Chevrolet building,
yeah.
Le Mans would move all of their cars off of that lot across the highway and allow people to park there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, parking.
You still driving the golf carts?
No. No, I don't think we had a golf cart last year.
No kidding.
I don't believe we did. If we did, I didn't see it. I was inside quite a bit. So
see, the golf carts, now that's a great deal for the like the elderly folks.
Yeah. There may have been one there last year, and I just didn't see it. I think Estelle Stewart headed that portion up.
So where do you suggest folks park?
There's parking out in the front of the station on the old grocery store lot. Garmin's lot is pretty vacant right now, and there's also a little bit of parking on the east side of the station where the city utilities keep their poles stuff. And then there's just a little bit of parking around the station. If somebody, you know, handicapped, using a walker or something like that, they can park pretty close to the station and come in.
It's pretty safe. There's a safe path from Garmin's, though, isn't there? Because don't you have to cross the little creek?
No, not
creek
not
on the other side.
Not from Garmin's.
Oh, okay.
The creek's on the east side of the fire station.
Okay.
But from the front of the fire station to the northeast, the walk-in entry door, there's a sidewalk that we just did 2 years ago, I believe, where you can walk down the sidewalk to get into the entry door.
Well, you brought up the grocery store. That's a Quonset hut that has been unused. What was the last thing in there? Dickie Antiques or something like that? Probably?
Something like that, I believe. It's been unused for quite a while.
When do you guys buy that? When's the rural fireman going to buy that thing?
I don't know if we'll ever get that far or not.
You're landlocked out there where you are now. You've got the creek on one side. You know, that'd be a nice place to put another fire truck or two.
Yeah, we just recently expanded to the south. We bought the old, I believe it was an old Fairfield Oil lot from years ago, and built a new addition to the south, which helped a lot for the fish fry. We've got a lot more room, and people can stand around in the old part of the station if the weather's bad, waiting in line, so they're not outside. So that helped quite a bit.
Well, it's been a few years since I've eaten at the fish fry, and I think it was before you had the new addition. I usually get it to go, so I. You know, at our age, Chris, you have to try to keep from overeating, don't you?
Oh, yeah, you do. After that day, I don't want to see another piece of fish
while. When's the next time you're going to eat a piece of fish after you get done with the fish fry?
Yeah, it'll be a long time.
Do you firemen, you got to test it.
Yes, we actually had a testing session 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How'd that go?
Pretty good. We tried a little bit of different combinations on some things and worked out real well, so I think we're going to implement them this year.
Really? So we're changing the formula of the batter a little bit?
Just a little bit, maybe. Yeah.
You know this makes sense, Chris, because over the course of time, folks probably get a little bit different taste. I mean, right now your Cajun spicing is a little bit more popular than it would have been like 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah. And we're also trying some different sizes of fish to speed up cooking and stuff like that, to where people can have some smaller portions and don't, you know, get a great big thing and feel like they have to eat it all. So I think you're going to see different size portions
this year, smaller fish, but probably same portions.
Yeah.
I mean, since it's all you can eat, it's all you can eat.
Yeah, it's all you can eat. Come back as many times as you want. We'll just keep piling it on.
I love it. All right, that's the Fairfield Rural Fire Department fish fry. It's going to be on March 17th, and two seatings from 11 to 1, as well as from 4:30 to 7. What is too early?
We have people show up at...
I know you have people probably showing up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon because they you know, it's the off time, but they think they can get in there without a line or something at that point, right?
Yeah, we have a lot of older people like to eat early, and they'll show up about a half hour usually before we actually start serving, which is fine. We'll serve them. Like I said, we also have to-goes. You can call if you are working. The hospital does this. They'll call the station and place an order for like 20 to-go plates and send somebody after them.
Well, that's a nice way to do it.
If you do that, I'll give you a phone number.
What's that?
842-7995. That's the station business number. We'd prefer you don't call 911.
I was wondering about that.
I think Tom Wendland would probably appreciate that too.
Tom knows. I presume that Tom knows that it's the fish fry day, and he probably has some fish brought to him anyway to know that. But yeah, make his day a lot easier if you don't call 911 to order fish.
Yeah, Tom does eat. A lot of times he shows up, or if he's working, we'll send some up to him. But, yeah, I would think that he would prefer not to call 911 to order fish.
I've got Chris Miller here. We're from the Fairfield Rural Fire Department. We're talking fish fry. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, as well as Fairfield Rural Fire Department got called out last week, and we'll talk a little bit about that. You are listening to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. We'll be back in just a moment. Folks, welcome back to WFIW, the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield, Illinois. It's 928, it is 57 degrees on the way up to about 64. Going to rain a little bit today, off and on. Just probably get used to it for the next day or so. Day and a half, maybe. Today and halfway tomorrow. I think it'll be clear in time to drive to Carbondale tomorrow night for the Super Sectional. As Mount Carmel won again Friday night, they're playing in the Super. Woodlawn also won Friday. They're going to be playing Effingham St. Anthony down there at Carbondale. Bruce Dickey Show here today. We're talking fish fry, Fairfield Rural Fire Department. Now, I've got Chris Miller here. Chris, tell me what the funds are, what they typically go to. What are they projected for? I mean, because you're going to get, I'm doing the math in my head, you're going to get a little bit over $2,000, $10,000, $20,000 this weekend. Right?
I wish we'd make $20,000. typically, we take those funds and reinvest them back into the department. It can be anything from hand tools that we would use on scene. We recently purchased, I think Matt Rush, last time he was here, talked about five new AEDs that we put in service.
Right. Those are the breathing apparatus, right?
Those are the defibrillators.
Defibrillators.
Yep, automated defibrillators. We actually got to use one of the new ones a couple months ago. So everybody was kind of happy about that. They could see their money getting used. But we'll set money back. For instance, if we're going to have to replace a truck down the road. Our volunteer organization will start earmarking money and putting it in an account to maybe do a down payment on it or something like that when it comes time to replace that. But a lot of it, it goes back in to tools, equipment, things like that.
What kind of shape the truck's in?
Right now, pretty good.
You're going to be, but you need to modernize at some point, right?
Yeah, there's always something you can do. We've got one. It's a 1996 model that probably will be earmarked to be
replaced.
It may get moved down to our station 2 in Mill Shoals, where it doesn't have quite the high call volume, and maybe bring a new one in up here at the Fairfield station. But that's still a few years, could be up to 5 years or so down the road. But the money gets earmarked for stuff like that.
March 17th is the day of the fish fry. There are going to be two seatings from 11 to 1, as well as from 4:30 to 7. And that'll be at the Fairfield Rural Fire Station here in Fairfield. I've got a pair of tickets here. Why don't you come up with a trivia question or something in your mind there? You'll need to put the headsets on for if we get a phone call. Because I'm going to give away two tickets to the first caller who calls in and might. I tell you what, if we ask a question, Chris, we'll make it pretty simple, won't we?
Yeah. Yeah, we will. I figured you'd be the trivia question person.
I am worn out. I could probably come up with something, I had that trivia over the weekend. Yeah, I'm kind of worn out. Give us a call, and we'll see if we can't get you some tickets. Good morning. You're on the radio. What can we? You calling for tickets?
Yes, sir, I am.
Outstanding. What's your name, sir?
Bill Thomas.
Bill Thomas?
Yes, sir.
All right, Bill. I've got a pair here for you. Chris, did you come up with a question, or do you want me to? What's the name of the? Let's ask him the name of that device that you use to break down a door. I mean, don't you have a real other than an axe?
There's several devices that we use, just depending on the type of door.
How about what's the device you use to break in a roof?
Break in? That'd be a hatchet.
You gonna give him that? I thought you had a particular name.
Well, a little bit longer handle than a hatchet.
A little bit longer handle than a hatchet.
Be an axe.
There we go.
There you go. Easy. What now, ladies and gentlemen. Attaboy, Bill. I'm going to have I'll leave these out here on the front desk for you. And the dinner is next week. You going to be okay with that?
Yeah, that's fine. Sounds great.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate you calling in. Have a great day. Just that easy. We're making folks happy, yep. Chris.
I just got a text. We were talking about 911. It's a kind of a funny text where we're talking about don't call Tom at 911 for fish.
Yeah.
I got a text that said if I'm having a medical emergency and I call 911 and you guys come, will you bring me fish?
That's a great question. That is because whenever there is a medical emergency, you guys, the rural fire departments and the regular fire departments called out as well, right?
Yes. Yes, we... We run as first responders to anything that an ambulance goes to in our district. And somebody was wanting to know if they had a medical emergency, if we'd bring them fish along with us.
Probably not a bad idea if it's that particular day, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, anything's possible.
Nice of folks to think about when they're going to fall off a ladder or something. Yeah. That'd be the day to do it.
Yeah. We're sorry you fell off the ladder, but here's some fish to help you feel better.
There you go. A little bit more serious note. Last week you were called out, what was that, Monday or Tuesday night? It was Tuesday night, right?
Tuesday night, I believe, during the Crossville tornado.
Tell me what the Fairfield Rural Fire Department did down there. And I didn't realize they called out this many departments. Tell me a little bit about that about that evening.
I think I remember seeing maybe 9 departments from all over the area there. We had about 11 guys and 4 different trucks down there. We were assigned to search a specific area on the outside of Crossville, checking all the houses, making contact with people.
So yeah, what were this was late at night too, right? You're making sure that folks are healthy and safe, right?
Yeah, of course there was no power, there was no utilities, everything was dark. We made contact probably with a half a dozen people. I bet we checked upwards of a dozen residences and farm structures. Had quite a few LP gas leaks that we had to deal with, but a lot of it's just checking with people. Their power was off. Did they survive? Did they have any injuries, anything like that? Luckily, we did not encounter anybody that needed any medical attention. Everybody pretty much survived the storm in the area that we were at. We did have one older lady that wanted to know why we were there, and she didn't even know anything had happened.
She didn't know there was a storm?
No, it passed less than an eighth of a mile south of her house, and she had no clue that anything actually happened.
Wow.
So she was very lucky, very lucky. But we talked to a lot of people and ensured that their houses were safe to stay in and things like that.
Did you guys go through search any of the destroyed properties? I know you said you saw some stuff that just got obliterated down there.
We had two structures. One of them was not occupied at the time. And another one, the people were there, but everybody was okay, and we just secured some utilities, and they said they were going to be fine. They were going to stay there till daylight.
Yeah. So, what kind of time frame was this? Because the storm went through. Oh, it hit. I know it hit Christopher around 9 o'clock. It probably went through Crossville, maybe closer to 9:30 or 10, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd say we probably started that way between 9:30 or 10, and I think we were back up here refueling trucks about 2 a.m. the next morning. So we were down there for a few hours.
And that's just kind of part of what the Fairfield Rural Fire Department and what all rural fire departments do, isn't it? I mean, you guys are called away to those emergencies, and folks may not realize it's not just in Wayne County or around Fairfield, is it?
That's right. We went to Ridgeway a few years ago when I guess it would have been 5 years ago.
I think that's right.
We were down there for
a few days. The same date as the I think it was the same date as this Crossville tornado.
Yes, it was.
Tornado.
It was the leap year, so there was a 29th.
Yeah.
But we've been to Ridgeway, and it's just good practice to do, because one of these days we may need all these people to come and help us.
Yeah.
We had departments at Crossville. I know Mount Carmel was there. So they drew from a pretty big radius around Crossville for assistance, and I believe there's about 9 departments there.
How many places have you gone now you've tried to participate in most of these you can, because you're kind of the communications expert, aren't you?
yeah
I mean, I can't think of anybody who would have your expertise in the communications field that's a rural fireman.
Yeah, we run mutual aid around Wayne County with our local departments, but as far as actually going outside, it's probably been a half a dozen times. I said, Ridgeway, Crossville. Years ago, we went to Mount Vernon, Indiana, when they had that big fire over there.
Oh, really?
I can't remember what plant it was.
See, that's a pretty far piece draw. I mean, that'd be about 40 miles, right?
Yeah. There were a lot of Indiana departments there. I think Fairfield City went over for that too, but it's just a good faith effort. If we have the equipment we can spare without leaving our station short, and we didn't have any damage up here, we had Fairfield City covering some stuff while we were in Crossville in case something would have happened. But we never know when we might need something here. We had a tornado several years ago that kind of came down Highland Avenue.
Yeah,
and luckily,
Well, that was the one that hit 7th Street and hit Sims, too, that day,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Yes, it came through Sims, and, the city of Fairfield fared pretty well on that one, just some structural damage. I don't believe there were any major injuries. There might have been some small ones, but, I mean, it could happen here, and we might need these people to come and help us.
Yeah, and tell me a little bit. You've been down there, and you saw the route of it. Now, granted, it was during the night, but how heavy was the devastation and granted, for the most part, it was just through fields as opposed to hitting homes.
Yes. To me, it appeared that it went south of Crossville, and a lot of tree damage. You could see, during the daylight, I actually got to see, Saturday, some, aerial stuff where you can actually see the farm fields where it looked like you took a big broom and just swirled the fields.
Is that right?
Yes, and you could track it through there right across the interstate into Indiana, where it went across I-64 and a lot of farm buildings damaged, roofs missing, stuff like that.
Didn't I see somebody say this was like one of the longest paths of a tornado in years or something like that?
I didn't hear that. I did see an article to where it almost mimicked the 1925 tornado. Matter of fact, a guy in Crossville had a house damaged in the 1925 tornado, and his house was damaged in this one.
That was 92 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here doing the math in my head. was he around back in 1925 as well?
I don't know the particulars on it. I don't know if it was
his family's
house, grandparents or something like that, and probably remembers, you know, hearing the story passed down.
Sure. Well, that would be, yeah. That one was a mile wide. That was a little wider. But at this one, it was a quarter of a mile wide. That's pretty good.
Yeah, they said it was about a quarter mile wide when it was in that area.
Talking with Chris Miller, we're talking about all kinds of different things. The Fairfield Rural Fire Department's Fish Fry coming up on March 17th. It'll be from 11 to 1 as well as from 4:30 to 7. We're going to talk a bit more about that as well as all kinds of other things when we return. You are listening to the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield. We'll be back in just a sec. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield. Appreciate you tuning in. It's 9:46, 57 degrees today. I've got across the way from me Chris Miller, and we've been talking about the Fairfield Rural Fire Department Fish Fry coming up on March 17th from 11 to 1 in the afternoon, 4:30 to 7 p.m. in the evening. When will you get more When do you think you'll get more people, in the afternoon or the evening? Well, how's that work typically?
We usually typically have a higher attendance during the supper hour.
Do you?
Yes.
Just because, I mean, being a Friday, a lot of people probably try to take off anyway, right?
Yeah.
Nice day in March, first of all, spring day like that.
Yeah.
You probably get all kinds of people playing hooky from work.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Including Fairfield Rural Fire Department firemen. Yeah. again, that's on Friday, March 17th from 11 to 1 and from 4:30 to 7 o'clock. This weekend got a big deal that comes to mind with the, kind of makes folks try to remember stuff. It's the time change, isn't it, Chris?
Yes, time change. It's kind of a
traditional
nationwide tradition that every time change, you change the batteries in your smoke detectors.
You guys go to houses that are burning. What kind of percentage do you think you'll walk into to that folks don't have their the batteries fresh? They'll have smoke detectors in them, but they don't go off.
Well, used to it was quite a high percentage.
Yeah,
and now then, you'd be surprised at the number of people that actually have them and have their carbon monoxide detectors. They since that became a law, just a little over 5 years ago, I believe that it was you're supposed to have a carbon monoxide detector in your house. The lifespan on those is 5 years, so we're getting a lot of calls to where they'll alert you that they're at the end of the lifespan of the device by beeping, and people think it's going off, and they'll call and say my carbon monoxide detector is going off, when it's just telling you either low battery or it's that I need replaced.
Yeah,
which we don't care. We'd rather you be safe than, and we'd rather come out and make sure you're safe than you not have them at all.
I didn't realize the car you had to have them by law. That,
yes.
I guess when did that you say that?
That was it might be 7 years by now, because we had a rash of calls. Everybody went out and got them, and they ended up all basically the detectors dying all at the same time. So there, after the 5 year period, we were making a lot of carbon monoxide detector beeping calls.
So now do you have to you don't replace batteries in those?
A lot of the new smoke detectors, no, they have a 5 to 10 year lifespan on them.
You just basically replace the device.
Yep, you just replace the whole device. I put a couple up a couple weeks ago, and when you twist the smoke detector to its mounting bracket, it turns it on, and you can't take it apart. You can't change the battery, and when it beeps, you just undo it and throw it away and go get you a new one.
Is that right?
Yep.
I did not realize. Boy, that is simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because the reason I ask, and the reason I harp on this, and also one of the reasons I maybe our hypothetical guy may not get his detector's batteries replaced all the time. Not me, hypothetical guy.
Yeah,
because he has dogs, and the dogs occasionally really don't like that sound when you test it.
No,
so I just kind of try to avoid testing it.
My dog doesn't either. But you'll see a lot of people with the replaceable battery ones. They'll start beeping, and oh, I'm going to take it down, take the battery out because it's beeping. The dog's mad, and they forget. You know,
forget to replace it.
I forgot to go get me a 9-volt battery, and then you know something happens
when the dog's out of the house. That's when you want to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Send the dog outside to play, and then replace it.
And it really does make a difference. It freaks my dog out for like a day.
Yeah,
he's a crazy dog to start with, I guess.
Yeah, I've got a dog that does not like him either.
Do the carbon monoxide ones make the same noise?
Yes.
I didn't realize. I didn't know if they had separated, made a different noise for you to figure out.
It's a little different pitch, but it's along the same lines. Some carbon monoxide detectors will actually show you parts per million in the air.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. And it's a weighted scale as far as how long you can be in there. Obviously, the higher amount, the shorter time, but you can have lower levels and it won't activate because it's looking at the time too. But like mine at my house have a red display that shows you parts per million.
Where do folks typically get carbon monoxide into their homes? Is it always from a furnace, or are there other, like a stove or something?
Any device that burns a carbon-based fuel. That could be a fireplace, water heater.
You don't think stove. About that. You don't think about a natural gas water heater might cause that kind of thing.
Yeah, we've actually had somebody a few years ago had a new stove delivered, or they purchased one, and it was set up for natural gas, not LP, which they had, and they lit it.
Oops.
And I mean, it didn't cause a fire, but their detectors started going off because the combustion process was not right.
Conducive.
Right. So we went and found that you could actually, there's gas clothes dryers too.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, people use gas clothes dryers instead of electric. So anything that burns a carbon-based fuel can.
See, you don't think about. Like I say, a hypothetical guy again, who doesn't have a garage, doesn't have. I mean, that's typically what I think you would have carbon monoxide issues is if you would have a garage and maybe your car runs in there too long or something like that.
Yeah,
but that's not it at all, is it?
No. Like I said, the biggest ones are appliances, and something that people don't really think about are like wood burning stoves and fireplaces. If you have something wrong in your chimney system, there has been deaths related to like wood burning stoves.
Have you guys had any calls on the carbon monoxide issues, that kind of thing? Had to go check out the people's houses that they thought that they couldn't find smoke, but their thing's going off anyway?
Yes. We have gas detectors where we will go through the house and see, what levels of carbon monoxide are in the facility.
Well, it's, and you bring it up. We bring it up because, of course, we're talking about the rural fire department. But it is something that folks really need to figure out. When people were using, I use it too, using the smoke detectors with the battery, six months is about the right life on one of those batteries, isn't it?
Yeah.
Those 9 volts.
Yep, shortly after that, they'll start beeping and annoying you.
That's the thing. That's what scares the dog anyway, when you have the beep that's going off about every 5 minutes or so.
Yeah.
You could if you're sitting there watching television, you could put that out of your mind.
Yeah, but the dog won't let you.
That's exactly
right. He keeps telling you something's wrong.
Something's up. Let's get back and remind folks about the fish. I'm going to give away tickets later on as we get a little closer to the fish fry next week. But where do you get the fish and the taters? You got a bunch of taters coming in. Is that
all that is ordered locally through various suppliers here in town.
Yeah.
We like to support our people because they come and feed their families, buy tickets and stuff like that. So we just like to put the money,
spread it around a little bit around the town, huh?
Yeah.
You're not going to tell me who, are you?
No, I mean, it's just several. It's like three or four different vendors.
You're
going to
forget what is why you're not starting to tell me. I know what you're doing here, Chris.
Yeah, we have some vendors that have big freezer space that'll keep our coleslaw cool for us and stuff like that. So,
when do you start cooking that day?
Oh, we'll start actually frying fish just a little bit before 11, probably 10:30 or so, like that.
Will it be the same oil all day long, or will you change the oil at some point throughout the day?
No, the oil lasts throughout the whole duration of the event.
Yeah, I probably have to add to it from time to time.
Yeah, we'll top it off a little bit, and I believe like Wednesday or Thursday we'll make the coleslaw and let it start.
Well, it
fermenting.
Needs to. Yeah, there you go. That's a good word. It needs it needs to coagulate.
Yeah, we've done some experimenting on
coalesce.
That, and you give it a couple days, it really changes the flavor of it.
Does it really?
Yes. Yep. If it sits chilled and for about 2 days is about the optimum.
After that gets the good coalescence there. It gets everything comes together, and you really don't want to wait another 4 or 5 days. It might go bad.
Yeah.
But because it's got mayonnaise in it, egg-based.
Right, right. Yep, it has mayonnaise, and so we keep it cool. Keep track of that pretty close.
It's the fish fry coming up on March 17th from 11 to 1, as well as from 4:30 to 7. You can make a phone call to 842-7995 if you're looking forward to it and you want to order ahead. Again, the order ahead number is 842-7995. Chris, thanks very much for coming in, and folks can give you a call if they have any questions about it too, right?
Yeah, they can call us. They can, if somebody's not at the station, they can leave a voice message on the voicemail. We'll usually try to check those and get back with people. If somebody has questions about any detectors in their house or anything like that, we can come out and check them. If you have a group that needs some kind of a presentation, we've been known to give some talks on anything from smoke detectors, fire extinguishers, what do I do, and when do I call 911, anything like that. It's so we do a lot of public safety presentations and things like that too.
That sounds great. That's Chris Miller. That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today. Thanks a lot for coming on, Chris.
Thank you.
Have a great day, everybody.